Amen. Let's open up with prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we come on this morning and we thank you for all of your loving kindness, your tender mercies. We thank you for life, health, strength. We thank you for all of the many blessings that you have blessed us with from the time we have entered into this world up until this very present moment. And Father, at this moment, I pray that you would speak through me. I am but the clay, and you are the potter. Speak a word that's in season, that will touch, that will revive, that will stir the hearts of the people. We thank you, Father. We love you. We worship and we honor you on today. We thank you for the gifts that you have given to us. We thank you for the mothers. We thank you for the fathers. We thank you for the children. We thank you for all of your blessings, Father. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let me first say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I pray that it will be a wonderful day for you today. Hallelujah. Mother's Day. Mother's Day. One particular mother in the Bible, and we'll just go ahead and jump right on into it. One particular mother in the Bible that you hear about quite frequently on today is the Proverbs 31 woman. So let's turn there. We thank God for mothers. We do thank God for mothers. Some of them have done the best they could, and some of them, we just be honest, have not done all that they could have. But yet and still, we thank God for mothers. In order to be a mother, a woman has to have children. Children are valued by the Almighty God and considered to be his gifts. Excuse me. Psalms 127:3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And Matthew 18:6 says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he would drown in the depth of the sea." And in Mark 10:13-16, we see Jesus, and it says, they brought young children to him, excuse me, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So the scriptures declare unto us that children are a gift. They're special in the eyesight of God. But for children to come into the earth, they have to come through a mother. So we're going to take a look at the Proverbs 31 woman. Like I said, usually on Mother's Day, that's when I really hear about her. So we're going to take a look at her, but we're also going to look at some other mothers. All right? So Proverbs 31, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." So this is something that his mother taught him. "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. For it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She would do harm, she would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds up her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, this is one incredible mama. I'm telling you. And I can truly say that she surpasses me. She surpasses me. Verse 13 says she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. I have a pile of clothes that need stitching right now sitting on the floor. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. So she's looking. I'm looking for what can I get the cheapest at the grocery store. Now she rises also while it's yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maid. So she's making sure that everybody in the house is fed. She goes out, buys a field, considers the field and buys it. And with the fruit of her hand, she plants her own vineyard. I think I would kill my vineyard. So, yeah. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night, so she's a businesswoman. So my hat's off to her. And then she knows how to sew. She lays her hands to the spindle, her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. So she's concerned about other folks' needs. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So she takes care of everybody in the house. And this is the part that gets me, because I take care of the people in my house. I think they would agree. But she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So not only does she take care of everybody in her house, she takes care of herself. And oftentimes, mothers will leave themselves out. Leave themselves out. She has a husband that's known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen, sells it, delivers girdles unto the merchant, the businesswoman part aspect of her. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So she's not afraid of what the future would bring. She opens her mouth with wisdom and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So she's a wise woman and a kind woman, and she looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. And she don't have time to be idle because she's out there buying fields and planting vineyards and selling her merchandise and making clothes and selling it, taking care of everybody and herself. She has no time to be idle. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. That's the praise that he gives to his wife. Many have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So I might not meet her in all of these other little different things. I might not be a businesswoman. I might not know how to sew. I might not want to sew. might not go out and plant my vineyard. But I can come in agreement with her because I, too, fear the Lord. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, this is the standard of womanhood. Like I said, usually on Mother's Day, you hear about the Proverbs 31 woman. And sometimes some mothers hear her story and they feel a little uneasy. They feel like, I can't measure up. Well, you're not alone. There were many mothers in the Bible that did not measure up. And we're going to take a look at some of them. But we're going to take a look at one final mother, and then we're going to look at our God. So let's take a look at a woman who we all hope would have measured up to her, but she didn't quite measure up. Let's take a look at Eve. Let's go to Genesis 3. Eve, the first woman, made in the image of God, planted in the garden with her husband Adam. There were no weeds to tend to, no babies, no bottles, no hectic schedules. Her, Adam, the garden, God, it was perfect. We call it paradise. But in chapter 3, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God have said, ye should not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now where she got that from, we don't know. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye should not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, God said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now we know that the seed that God was talking about was Jesus Christ. That may not necessarily be what Eve knew. Turn over to chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, this is what Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, Adam and Eve both knew that they had messed up what God had given them. But God told them, now, a man is going to come through you. So he is going to take care of the serpent. When she had Cain, she felt like that man had come. There are times that some mothers want to relive their past, redo life over, and so they feel like I can do life over through my children. But that is not the way of the Lord. We have to trust the Lord to work everything out. Even if we've messed up in the past, let God fix it. Don't put that burden on your child. Let's take a look at another mother. Let's take a look at Leah. Let's go to Genesis 29. And let's look at verse 30. Genesis 29, verse 30. Another mother. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son and called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord have looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord have heard that I was hated, he have therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. And I want to drop down to verse 14 in the next chapter. Let's go to verse 14. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I've hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night, and God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the 5th son. And Leah said, God have given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. She called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the 6th son. And Leah said, God have endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him 6 sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And we'll stop right there. In this woman's case, she was using her children to win the heart of her husband. And sometimes today, you'll see that happen with mothers. She'll have a child after child after child after child trying to win the heart of a man. But the only heart that she needs to be concerned with is the heart of God. That's the heart that that mother needs to win. Genesis 25. starting at verse 20. Genesis 25, verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, and the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Here in this particular passage, we see Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, and she has become pregnant with twins. And there's a fight going on. And she inquires of the Lord, "Why is this happening?" And God tells her, "There's two nations within you, and the younger is going to serve the older." Now, God had given her the word. But if you look over in Genesis 27, and we won't read that, I'll let you read that on your own time. But in Genesis 27, when Isaac believes that he's getting ready to die, he wants to pass on the blessing. Typically, the blessing is passed on to the oldest, the firstborn. Rebekah gets together this scheme to trick Isaac so that Jacob, her favorite, would get the blessing. Isaac wanted to give it to his favorite, which was Esau, the oldest. But she didn't have to do any kind of trickery because the word had already went out that the blessing was going to go to Jacob. So she didn't have to do any trickery. She didn't have to do any planning, any of that. She didn't have to do any of that. The word of the Lord was, "Your younger son is going to get the blessing." So we encourage mothers who feel like, "I've got to make sure that my favorite is the one that's blessed." The word of the Lord to you is trust in God. Trust in God. He has the plan. He shared the plan with you. So just trust that he's going to work the plan and the plan will come to pass. Trust in God. We see another mother who has the same kind of ideal, Salome, in Matthew 20, 20 through 21. She asks, and we could turn there. She asks of the Lord a big, huge favor. In Matthew 20, 20 and 21, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, 'What wilt thou?' She said unto him, 'Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom.'" So she was trying to make sure that her children succeed. And that's a good thing. Every mother wants their children to succeed. But once again, let the Lord work it out. Because even Jesus had to tell her, the one who's going to sit on the left and the one's going to sit on the right, that's not my privilege to give that information out. I can't give you that. But she had to trust Jesus that he would do the right thing. And every mother has to trust Jesus that he will do the right thing for your child. Okay. Now I want to take a look at a couple of mothers that really showed that they had the heart of a mother. Not just, you know, "Well, I want my baby to succeed and I'm going to do everything it takes for them to succeed." But those that really had the heart of a mother. I'd like to take a look at Moses' mother, Exodus 2. Exodus 2. And don't worry, you'll still make your Mother's Day brunch. Exodus 2. Exodus 2. "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer, she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank, brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. So she was watching. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the rivers. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, so now the sister made her way up to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Right here we see the example of the mother who did whatever it took to save her son. Because Pharaoh had said all baby boys had to be killed. But the midwives did not kill Moses, and his mother was not going to kill him. So she did what she could to save him. And God honored that because God even then prepared an adoptive mother. She was there and she saw the baby in that ark, and her heart was filled with compassion. And so she took the baby, and God worked it out that Moses' mother could be his nursemaid until it was time for him to be turned over and become a part of Pharaoh's court. So God has a plan, Mama. You don't have to worry about it. It may seem strange in the beginning, but God will take care of your child. He has somebody there. God has a plan. And I want to take a look at just a couple of more mothers, and I'll be out of your way. I want to take a look at a mother called Rispa. 2 Samuel 3. 2 Samuel 3. Now, we know that God's plan is for a young woman to turn into a wife and then turn into a mother. And sometimes that plan doesn't always come to pass. In Rispa's case, well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. 2 Samuel 3. All right, let's take a look at verse 1. "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." And let's drop down to verse 7. Yeah, let's drop down to verse 7. "And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rispa, the daughter of Ai. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, 'Wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine?'" And now let's take a look at 2 Samuel 21. So Saul has a concubine, not a wife, but a girlfriend. And he has children by her. But at this point, Saul is dead. His sons are dead. The kingdom is in David's hand. So let's take a look at what happens now. 2 Samuel 21, it says, "And there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.' And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them," now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. "And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah." So a deal was made years ago between Joshua and the Gibeonites that Joshua would not slay them. But when Saul became king, he said, "No, I'm going to kill them." Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? Wherewith shall I make the atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, well, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul. Her sons' names were Armani and Mephibosheth. And the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Mahothelite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites. And they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days in the beginning of the barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, which had stolen them from the streets of Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hanged them, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they in the country of Benjamin, in Zelah, in the sepulchre of Kish, his father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. In this case, we see a woman who became a mother, maybe not of her choosing. Saul was a king. He saw Rizpah. She must have turned him on. And he said, I'm going to make you my concubine. So she became his concubine and bore him two sons. And in this process of time, throughout all these events, now her sons are taken away from her, not because of anything they did, but because of something that their dad did. The sons are taken away from her. So now she's a mother that is suffering loss. But what does she do? She stays out there while, after they had been hung, she stays out there with them. It said that there had been no rain. It said that they were hung at the beginning of the barley harvest. The beginning of the barley harvest is right around March and April. And then it said that she stayed until rain came. The first rains in Israel come right around September, October. She stayed there for months because she loved her sons. She made sure no beasts tore them up. She made sure no birds landed on them, but she is a mother that loves even beyond death. And as mothers, we have that kind of love for our children. We love them. We'll do whatever we have to do to protect them, to save them, to make sure that there's no hurt, harm, or danger coming towards them. But she honored her sons and loved them even unto death and beyond. Another mother, and I won't read all of this, but I'll tell you about it. Another mother who's similar to that is the prostitute. She's found in 1 Kings 3, verses 16 through 28. And if y'all want to put it up, you can, but I'll just talk about it. But this lady was a prostitute, but she was a mother. And another lady that she was living with was a prostitute and a mother. The other lady rolled over in the middle of the night and killed her baby. This lady, she kept her baby was still alive. But the other prostitute switched babies. And when they got into a disagreement, they took it to King Solomon. And they were like, look, the lady's like, she's trying to steal my baby, but this is my baby. The other lady's like, no, this is my baby. So Solomon came up with the fabulous idea and said, okay, we'll just split the baby. You'll have half, she'll have half. And the real mother said, no, don't do the child no harm. Let the child live. The other prostitute said, yeah, split the baby. I'll take half. Half is better than none. So, but the real mother spoke up. The heart of the real mother shone through. She was not going to let harm come to the baby, even if she couldn't raise the baby. She said, no, don't kill my child. Give him life. Give him a chance. And that's the heart of a real mother. It's the heart of a real mother. Hallelujah. And one other mother, Deborah. We do have to talk about Deborah. If we go to Judges, the fourth chapter. These mothers have been with me for a while, so you all bear with me. They've been in my spirit for a while. But Judges, the fourth chapter. And we're going to take a look at verses 1 through 10, and then we'll look a little bit at Judges, the fifth chapter. But Judges, the fourth chapter. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. 20 years of oppression. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. Now, judges at that time were basically military warriors that fought the battles and made sure that there was peace in the land. So now we have Deborah, the prophetess, who is a judge at this time. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, have not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw towards Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots, with his multitude. And I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding the journey that thou takest, shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And let's turn over to Judges 5. Oh, I didn't read the last one. I'm sorry. Verse 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. All right. Let's turn over to chapter 5, and let's look at verses 1 through 7. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the sons of Abinoam, on that day, sang. So now they're singing a song, so obviously they got victory. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the village ceased. They ceased in Israel. until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother of Israel. And let's take a look at that last verse, verse 31 of chapter 5. So let all thy enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest for 40 years. Now with Deborah the judge, Deborah the prophetess, we know that she is a wife, but we don't really know if she is a biological mother. But she is called in verse 7 a mother in Israel. Sometimes there are women in our lives who may not have biological children, but they still have the heart of a mother. They still have foresight. They still have knowledge. They still can tell you this is the way to go. And because this mother had the foresight, this mother had gotten the word from the Lord that we're going to win this battle. She's known as a mother in Israel. And because she spoke, this mother gave the land rest for 40 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She had the heart of a mother. Hallelujah. There are so many other mothers that I could talk about. And we will mention two more. There was the mother named Eunice and her mother named Lois. Over in Acts 16, 1 through 3, we see that Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he comes across a young man named Timothy. And this young man, he's a believer, and he wants to travel with Paul. But his mother is a Jew, his father's a Greek. So we see this mother as being the mother who's married to a non-believer. So even if you're married to a non-believer, mama, your baby can grow up to be a preacher. We see that Timothy takes over the church at Ephesus, and Paul is commending him in 2 Timothy 1:5 and 2 Timothy 3:15 about the faith that was put in him through his mother and through his grandmother. And then, of course, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, a mother who chose to obey God despite what the future held. She didn't know what her life was going to be like, but she was willing to go along with God's plans. She observed her son as he was growing up. After he was born, they had to take him to the temple, and he had to go through and be circumcised. She listened to what Simeon had to say. She heard what Anna had to say. She heard what the shepherds had to say. She pondered all of this in her heart. When the wise men came to see her son, she heard what they had to say. So by the time it was time for him to start doing his miracles, she knew, yes, this is the Savior, the Redeemer. He's somebody special. Even when she went to him and told him, look, we're at this wedding. They've run out of wine. You got to do something. And he was like, woman, what does that have to do with me? That didn't stop her. She turned to the servants and said, whatever he tell you to do, do it. Because she had observed her child from before he was born until that present time. She was there at the cross when he died, and she picked up another son. So God didn't leave her without a son. He gave her a son. Jesus said from the cross, behold your mother, and behold, woman, behold thy son. And she was there in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came and filled them all. So she had her son again. It was just in a different form, but she still had her son. Just like all of these mothers love their children, mothers, God loves you, and he loves you dearly. In Psalms 36, 7, it says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalms 57, 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and yea, and ye would not. Hosea 13:8. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the caul of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. God is for you, mothers. Hallelujah. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but yet will I not forget thee. In Matthew 7:11, just an encouraging word to mothers and all of us. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Our God is constantly thinking about us. He knows every strand of hair on your head. He wants to bind up every broken heart. He loves you. He forgives you. He is loving, kind, gentle, and compassionate, generous and warm, comforting and giving. He nourishes, he cherishes, and nothing can ever separate you from his love. If God be for us, who can be against us? He will help you in your time of need. And this is particular for mothers. If you feel like you're in a situation where you can't make it out, trust God. Trust God. The widow of Nain was blessed because Jesus restored her son. Job's wife was blessed because God gave her more children after the loss of the first set of children. Naomi was blessed, for God gave her a woman who was not just her daughter-in-law, but who really truly was her daughter after she lost her sons. And then Ruth in turn blessed Naomi by making her a grandmother. Hannah was blessed by having a son, and she was so thankful that she gave that son back to God. No matter where you are in the mothering process, God is with you. He's for you. He supports you, and he loves you. God bless you, Mama.